Blog Talk Radio.
All right, another edition of the UAW Factory Whistle Show for April 25th, 2021. Scotty, what do you think of that? Let me get Adrian on.
Wow.
3-1 truck here.
Hey, 313, working the hardest working man on the show right there. Adrian, how you doing?
Hey, just wonderful. How's everybody?
Groovy.
Tired. Groovy
Uh-oh.
And tired. We're groovy and tired.
Working hard.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Somebody got to do it.
Yeah, well, that's true.
We're trying to take market share away from Ford right now.
Oh.
You believe that? Wow.
Help yourself.
What the hell is market share? I didn't think it wanted anything to do with market share.
Well, somehow some of these people, I think it's engineers, they talk amongst themselves and excuse me, I get a drink of coffee. And I think it was let out of the bag that Ford is trying to launch out their new heavy-duty trucks. And
right.
I ran into a brick wall face first.
Oh.
General Motors is going to take the opportunity to try to take advantage of this and put out as many heavy-duty trucks they can. Hopefully they can swing some people to come buy one of the Chevy or GMC HD trucks instead of a Ford. Problem it is, yeah, I guess you can't even find a heavy-duty Ford out there anywhere. Problem is, you can't hardly find a Chevy or a GMC heavy-duty truck out there right now either.
I was going to say, I remember that problem a lot when I was working. Nobody could find them.
Yeah, and I see now that our brothers and sisters at a lot of multiple Ford locations are now getting an extended vacation. I believe they're going out past May 19th now.
Oh,
Not Dearborn.
Yeah.
Not Dearborn.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that with Dearborn took. I hadn't heard that.
No.
We got a lot of people in the switchboard. If you'd like to join the conversation, please push 1 on your keypad, and I'll put you on. We've got about 41 people in the switchboard right now, so pushing number one. I see Jimmy. I think this is Jimmy pushing number one. Jimmy.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, brother.
I don't even know what I was going to say. Chevy, General Motors, the only place they really have open right now as far as assembly goes is Arlington, Fort Wayne, Flint, and Wentzville. Wentzville's one shift only. These semiconductors are really putting the pinch on everybody right now.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Interesting.
So, yeah. It is. And we have...
Somebody didn't forecast really good on this.
No. I agree. I agree with you. Anyway... Adrian, actually, I think they did. I think they told him in a forecast, and I think that the dollar sign got in front of the common sense, and they pushed forward anyway. You know what I mean?
That's real possible. That's real possible.
Because somebody, an engineer, saying, look, we need this many parts to do this, and somebody else saying, well, we're going to have this money at this place to do that. And then somebody's going to say, the bean counter is going to say, okay, this is how much money we had to buy these, and it's all we can buy. And somebody's going to say, for the shipping department, that's nice, everybody, but this is all we can get. And somebody said, oh, that's okay. Just keep running. We'll run them shy. We'll put them out in the backyard. Just keep running them. Now, with that being said, I don't think, is Jimmy on?
No, I'm over here.
There, Jimmy.
Hi.
Jimmy, what was
yeah,
it Dan just said when he went down to Saturn, when he first went down there? How many vehicles did they have out in their yard sitting in the mud?
5 acres. There was never a vehicle count. There was 5 acres. The cars where they had sunk all the way down past the door, the bottom of the doors, and the tires were rotted out. They ran that thing wide open down there. Their quality was right around in the low 60s, but they ran it wide open. And then Danjan, if you remember right, he was the one when they said it was going to be a 100-year company, he said it wasn't going to be a 10-year company. He said it wouldn't have been a 1-year company if they wouldn't have smoked the books.
So I guess what my point is
quality.
If
you got to make a vehicle go down that line that's sellable right then and there when it comes off the damn line, the first time quality. If you got to go back to it, people, you got a freaking problem.
Correct.
Nothing less than 90. And this goes for anybody in the automotive industry. This goes to anybody making anything in manufacturing. If your first time quality is less than 95%, you need to slow your operations down to find out what the problem is until you can get up to that percentage again. And that's, you know, that was Danjan, you know, quoting Deming, but it makes sense. You know, why run a bunch of vehicles? I don't know. Everybody's doing this. They're all three of the big three are doing this right now. They're running vehicles with parts short, and they're putting them out back to bring them in to fix them later when we get more parts. Wow. At some point, wouldn't you say, maybe we all need to take a break and let the chip manufacturers keep making the chips and then give them a buffer, and then when we go back to work, we'll all be able to go back to work. Just a thought.
Can I plant a seed here, Scott?
Sure.
All right. Hey, you idiots in Detroit, shut them down. Give the people a break. You can use COVID and save a lot of damn lives while this semiconductor catches up to the supply chain. Duh, doesn't take a rocket scientist now, does it, Scooby? I mean, come on, people.
I'm going to get Paul on right now, guys.
Greetings, you rabble rousers.
Greetings. Of course, that's a company issue, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Because the company has the right to run its business.
Yep.
And so they're running their damn business right in the ground.
Right.
Yep.
Now,
Scott, I'm so mad at myself. That international staff agreement, I'm hearing rumor that is now a, what do you call that, like a evergreen agreement that every contract that automatically renews, but I'm hearing that there is language in there that every year they, as an international staff, automatically get a 3% raise. And I guess this was all voted on at the last ConCon. I wish we could find some of this shit out to find if it is true. I don't have a problem with the money they make if they represent people, but man, they sure lacking on that last part, I said.
Well,
it depends on what people you're talking about, Jim. Are you talking about the people on the plant floor or the people in the General Motors offices? They're pretty well represented by our union from the standpoint that we've agreed to continuous improvement, which means whatever they want.
Well,
good point.
All they care about is labor costs. That's why they make all these stupid decisions. they can't slow the line down because that would increase their labor costs. They don't
right.
care if they incur hundreds of dollars of extra costs as long as they keep their labor down. They've done a lot of things that don't make any sense, but it's because that's all they care about is labor.
Hey, I got a question. I've seen Brother Keller post something from out west about a buyout on Chrysler. Was that a true geek?
I think that was a false letter.
Okay.
I think I caught a piece of that. I think that was he was asking if that was real. I think somebody had manufactured a letter.
That's sad.
Oh. Yeah, it is. It is. That's a twisted sense of humor. But I have something real quick you guys might get a laugh out of. This last week, a certain individual was posting all over different Facebook sites, and I saw it, and I just immediately started laughing. The UAW was close to a complete takeover when respected leader helped change everything. UAW President Rory Gamble emerges as an unlikely savior after the FBI scandal, and he lays out the future.
Just how much is the union supposed to change under Gamble? You know what are the proposals they've actually made to the government to clean up the union and keep it clean? You know, as long as we have a one-party system, it's going to be corrupt.
Listen.
Because there's nobody minding the store. You know, the people
now
can
listen.
Do whatever they want.
He's been minding the store. He's been around this shit for the last 25 years and hasn't
right.
said shit with a mouthful.
Well,
that's
nobody has. We
right.
didn't hear any outcry from anybody. It's just that... However, the feds found out, they're the one that cleaned it up, and if they hadn't have stepped in, we'd still have the same mess. It's not like Rory Gamble was trying to clean it up years ago.
No, no.
But what difference is there going to be under him?
Same way it was with Article 8 and Article 30. Think about that. He took over both those. Big deals, and you see how well he pushed them right into the dumpster.
I mean, seems like he's trying to preserve the same system that allowed everything to get corrupt. How many indictments now, and maybe more coming?
15. Now, who was it
that's
that 15 met with?
Convictions, right? 15
oh,
convictions. 15
convictions.
That,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
yeah
now you're
right.
not talking about all the chump change ones that spilled a little bit of beans so they only got their tallywhackers tanked, you know, or the out-of-town
right.
attorneys, the out-of-town shooters, the out-of-town PR firm, the out-of-town pork shops. We don't know none of that shit until the LM2s come. And like I said, they ain't showing us any change at all. So how they can say change? Why don't you just say he smoked the books in the right way for the government to accept them? Because we're not getting to vote for who needs to run our union. I mean, none of that shit happening like the membership wants.
I mean, what's the danger of one man, one vote? I mean, these are people that our international union criticizes what's going on in Mexico and other countries, but we don't have the right to elect our leaders.
Right. Now, if I have to think, we have to go back about a year and a half ago, when Jones was first getting in trouble. Who met at the airport to try to take Jones out? It was Cindy Estrada. And who else?
Is this a quiz, pop quiz, or?
Yeah, it's a pop
You're
quiz.
Searching for the answer.
I'm searching for the answer, so it's a pop quiz. Okay. I thought it was Gamble. Wasn't it Gamble and Estrada that met at the airport? And
I thought it was her and Settles, but I could be wrong.
No, because Settles was going out. He was already done. He knew
It wasn't Vance.
Nope, it wasn't Vance, because Vance is already in trouble.
Okay.
Vance got popped before Jones did. I have to go back and think that. I thought it was Gamble. I don't think it was Terry Didas. It was somebody in Cindy Estrada, remember? And they took a vote, and they didn't have enough power.
Oh, yes,
so
it was
Jones
Rory Gamble. It was Rory Gamble.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So how was he the savior when him and Cindy Estrada tried to take power from the existing Ruther caucus? I don't know.
How can anybody be the savior, so to speak, when they all knew there was something going on? I mean, when you got 15 people that have been found guilty or whatever, there had to be at least another 15 people that knew what was going on. Their secretaries knew what was going on. The international trustees must have had some clue of what was going on.
Nobody touched them.
The thing is, we don't
Nobody
know
touched
who
those
the
trustees.
Feds. Pardon me?
No one touched those trustees at all.
And the thing is, what it boils down to, we have no idea how many people spilled the beans to the feds to avoid being prosecuted themselves.
That's true.
And I have a problem with a system where everybody just sat around and watched the corruption go on and said nothing.
Yep.
We don't know. We really don't know who is privy to what, though.
Yeah.
But we do know those trustees.
Yeah.
Was supposed to be privy to everything that was monetarily done.
And accountants.
Yep.
I mean, we have our books audited. Why didn't
correct.
The accountants catch something? And they have a big staff of lawyers.
That's correct.
Why are lawyers telling them you can't use union funds to buy a house or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems to me there's just the problem the feds have with cleaning up the UAW is virtually everybody's dirty.
Right.
I mean, in the assistant regional director knows what the regional director's doing, and the secretaries know what's going on. They probably know more than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Joe Sesney wrote for the Detroit Bureau, and he did put a good article out this week about a UAW splinter group pushes the judge for more input into the decision. And he's talking about the UAWD. But Harvey, the person he was talking to, said that one of the key reasons the UAWD is asking to have the right to intervene is that administration caucuses continue to intimidate union members seeking to promote a greater measure of democracy within the UAW, Harvey said. Okay, so we ask about one member, one vote, and what's going on, and if things are going to be business as usual, and that's what it appears to be.
Right.
So with that being said, I know there's some stuff that's going on that Scott Holdison is involved in right now that I think they're in court, and they're trying to get a judge to let them intervene because I think if this goes down the way it's going to go down, it's going to stay just the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, only the names and faces will change.
Yep.
All the way they're
yep.
doing the union meetings. Think about that. You know, all meetings are canceled to June. Then if you look in the Constitution, all union meetings are canceled June, July, and August. do the summer shutdown and vacation and family time. So basically, we're not going to do shit until September. And the executive board, who knows all, is supposed to know all, it takes all and does, they ain't doing shit. I mean, we're, like I said, the federal government would just be good and smart just to remove the RICO law. Because they're afraid
but
to enforce
no,
that.
But there's no summer shutdown.
Yeah, oh. And there's and they're afraid to enforce the laws. I mean, we've proved, and they know beyond a reasonable doubt, these bastards are dirty.
But Jimmy, yeah. You could go down. But Jimmy, you could go down last fall and vote.
Hell, you can go anywhere and do what you want. You know that's
what
cracks me up. You can go vote, but you can't go bitch.
Right, you're gonna shut down the local for meeting, but you allowed people to go vote last fall.
Well, you could vote, but they didn't know anything about the candidates. If you talk about the union elections, if the candidates can't walk, talk, and hand out literature, how can they get known?
Well, right, but I'm saying that if you can't have any union meetings, how is it possible that you were able to go down there to that union hall and go vote? That does not make any sense.
Well, it does from their standpoint.
Agreed.
Because they're trying to stave off a movement. I mean, if you talk to anybody who's retired that's happy about what's going on, you know, the average person that retired 10 or 12 years ago would just be absolutely embarrassed if he walked into his plant and saw there's hardly anybody working there and they're just working the crap out of them.
Right.
They don't want us to be able to communicate, so they've shut down union elections and they shut down campaigning.
Yes. Yes. So, Ford suspended more of their F-150 and their exporter output over chips. That was April 21st, so that was 4 days ago. I'm trying to see. Between 1 and 2 weeks because of the ongoing chip shortage.
And
Chicago.
They have shut down every plant but mine because they're going to keep this. I'm sorry to butt in. They're going to keep their plant going because this is the moneymaker. But they've shut most of all their plants down so we have those chips. But I would assume they're doing that other places.
But they have been shut down at that Dearborn truck plant. You
yes,
had a 2 week off period.
They did.
We had 2 weeks off.
Excuse me?
They shut down for 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And then they started it back up. But we shut down.
Okay, but that's what they're doing with a lot of the plants.
Yeah,
a lot of the plants are down for 2 weeks.
Right, what they're trying to do.
Yeah, we're back up this week. But they have everybody else shut down. So we get
their chips.
Semiconductors. Yeah.
Right. It said that Chicago, Flat Rock, Michigan plants, as well as both the F-150 and the transit van sides of its Kansas City, Missouri plant, will be down the weeks of May 3rd and 10th. Flat Rock builds... which builds a Mustang and Chicago Assembly, which builds the Explorer and Lincoln Aviator crossovers, has been idle since April 12th. Kansas City has been idle since the week of April 19th. Oakville Assembly in Canada, where they build the Edge and Lincoln Nautilus crossovers, will be down the week of May 3rd. It has also been idle since April 12th. Additionally, Ford said production Ohio Assembly plant will be limited to Super Duty chassis cabs and medium-duty trucks the weeks of May 3rd and 10th, continuing limitations to begin the week of April 19th. They said they also have various powertrain and stamp facilities that would have to adjust their operating patterns to match what's happening in the assembly plants that they serve. So, I mean, this is...
All they're doing is rotating.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. They're doing that with all of them. I mean, GM is doing it, Chrysler doing it, too.
Yeah, but one thing that's in the background, is anybody paying attention to the Rivian plant in central Illinois? They're launching mid-June, and you know what? They don't need that chip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going, and Ford's in a deal with that. Isn't that the one that General Motors backed out and Ford jumped in before the ashes even got cold?
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, I heard that they're bragging that they're getting 400 miles to a charge on that skateboard. If they're doing that, man, that's pretty cool. It just depends on how long it takes it to charge back up, I guess.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah, because you don't need no conductor because you ain't got no brakes. You don't need no transmission because there ain't no. You know, if you looked on that one there in the Revivian, it's just like, as the old man said, two motors on the back and two motors on the front. So in essence, it's four-wheel drive.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hmm. Interesting.
But I was looking at that. Yeah, as far as I can see, that's all set for a June launch. And, I mean, their biggest problem right now is they're trying to compete for dealerships. But they might not have to compete because nobody's got any other stock. That's like, I'm sure I've heard all kinds of stuff, and maybe you can follow this up a little bit, Scott, was her decision to make all them white and silver pickups. That's about all that's left on the lots, and a lot of people are balking about, why the hell did you make them all that way?
Right.
She did that for the rental car companies, and then they didn't buy vehicles because of the pandemic.
Is white and silver a cheaper color? Seems to be all they care about. Is cost.
Yes, that would be cheaper.
They wouldn't have their problems with supply of chips if they hadn't decided they want to go with the lowest cost producer.
Right.
I mean, after all, it is possible to build a few things in America.
That's true.
Well, they didn't learn nothing from the airbag. That's for damn sure.
Mm-hmm. No. Nobody seems to learn nothing from anything.
And it doesn't seem like the union learns anything either. Every time management screws up, the union bails them out by giving them a piece of our contracts.
Yeah.
I don't see where...
But they have help. Don't forget, they have help. They have help from the membership because the membership votes to ratify it.
Well, that's true. You know, you keep throwing them a bone and tell them this is the best you can get.
Right.
I mean, it goes back to the fact that we have a one-party system. With a one-party system, you know, you... maybe have a couple rabble-rousers in your plant that are telling people don't vote for this, and all the appointees and all the shop committees out there lying to them, telling them what a great agreement it is.
Yep.
They don't have anybody else to turn to.
No.
What is wrong with I can read, I can think for myself? What's wrong with that?
Well, what's wrong with it is most people are motivated by fear. You know, you tell them this is the best. I mean, the scam they've been pulling for years is this is the best we can get you. If you don't vote for this contract, management's not going to invest in your plant. And then they throw in a bone of $5,000 or $10,000, and you go home and you tell your wife it's a bad contract, and she says, look, we can buy a lot with $10,000.
Mm.
So how's the guy going to vote?
Mm.
You know, I led a union drive at a small plant when I was young, and the first thing they did was hire a union-busting law firm to mail crap to your house. Your wife got it before you got home, and she was reading how much money you'd lose if you went on strike and couldn't get food stamps if you're on strike, you can't get unemployment on strike. You know, this whole thing, scam they've been running for years, is fear-based. Your union used to give you hope. Now it doesn't give you anything. All they tell you is do what management wants or you won't have a job.
Yep.
That's settled. I'm getting divorced before the next contract.
I know that's right. Oh, boy.
But it's true. They've been playing mind games for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. They've been allowed to play mind games.
They've been helped play the mind games.
Well, yeah, they're helped by the membership.
And by the
now,
union leadership.
You, okay.
I mean, you got to realize, we don't think the way most people do the work in the plant.
That's not my fault that they don't think.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not disagreeing with that, but I'm saying we don't think the way most people do. The word
we are the ones that need to try and help people to start thinking.
Yep, that's what we got to do
about their self-interest.
Right.
That's why you're supposed to head up our mentorship program at the local society.
That is one
yeah.
of the things that I was trying to do before the pandemic. It's very hard to get people to come out and just, I don't care if you want to just bitch and moan, do that so that we can have a good conversation to make you understand. We have to go back in history and bring you forward so that you can see all of what has been done, why it was done, but you also have to have the mind to think about what's going on.
Yeah, you have to think of where we're being led. You know, like I said,
that is correct.
The scam was that do what management wants or you won't have a job. The truth is, because we've done what management wanted, we don't have jobs. We've operated in our own demise.
It was kind of inevitable that you were going to lose jobs anyway because of technology.
But not 90%. And you could always, as a union, say, look, we're losing this work because of technology. We demand you bring in more work for our members. We're cooperating with you. We've increased quality and productivity. We want to be rewarded with work, not the unemployment line.
The first thing they told me when I got to the line was, you learn your job, because they're always going to try to teach you another job. And whatever they ask you, do you know any other jobs? You tell them no, because that way you got to bring somebody new on the job.
Mm-hmm.
You say
that's
we
right.
lost 90% of the membership, but think about this. In essence, we didn't. We allowed them to divide our membership up where it wound up we lost 90% because we
right.
gave up the janitors. This core, non-core bullshit, we were all union once, people. Wake up, smell the coffee.
We were all one. Now, all of a sudden, this end is contracted out. That end is contracted out. That
yeah.
shouldn't have ever happened.
If you want to know what a hard nut union can do, look, I don't agree with what they've done, but look what the Los Angeles Teachers Union has done. They refuse to go back to work, even though Fauci and all these people claim it's safe. They're there to represent their membership, and they don't care about anything but their membership. And that's what a union should be. They're supposed to be your attorney, so to speak, not the prosecuting attorney.
Yep. Absolutely.
Unions have power and leverage if they choose to use it. Our union has used their power to bargain for joint programs. They've given up real jobs to get joint program stuff. And they've been
yep.
deluded into believing that they're accomplishing something beneficial, and they're not.
Well, how are you saying something when you can say, I'm a convicted felon, I got both my kids, both of them making over $140,000 a year? Yeah, that's an accomplishment.
And I'm still getting paid. Don't forget about that. I'm a convicted felon, and I'm still getting paid along with my two children.
I heard a Cookie Monster. See, they're like Pac-Man. Waka, 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 waka. Keep right on eating. Y'all watch your left hand. Don't worry about the right hand.
That's right.
What'd the man say? Hey, no
attention to that man. How can the FBI sit there and ignore that, Scott? How can the FBI and this overseer sit back and observe that gross injustice and allow it to frickin' continue and then wonder why I'm a rabble-rouser?
Cha-ching, 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 cha-ching.
You know, everybody getting paid, right?
The union is so corrupt.
Ding, 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 ding,
ding. I don't know what to do with it. I mean, when you really look at it from a moral sense, virtually everybody is dirty because who spoke up? How many people had elected union positions raised their voice up over this stuff? We get crap contracts, and they either shut their mouth or go out on the plant floor and sell the contract.
Right.
When you go to the convention, how many, I mean, there's hardly any alternative candidates, but how many people vote for somebody like Gary Wachowicz? I was the only one from region C and D.
Or Brian Keller.
Right, when he was there. They all know we're getting a pile of crap, and they don't care as long as they get their share of it.
Right. Outside the last two contracts, from 1982 till 2011, the contracts have always supposed to have been about job security.
Right.
How many hundreds of thousands of jobs have we lost under such contracts that were supposed to be for job security?
Right.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for saying that. Thank you.
You're welcome. And think about this. I remember an asshat. I'm not poking fun at nobody. I'm just thinking, I think he came from the Ford Department, but he was a president of the UAW for a while. His name was Ron Gettelfinger.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember right, he took us out on the famous Hollywood strike, and he says, we're going out for job security. And 3 days later, he come back, he says, we got a V-bug. Everybody's like, what? He said we're going out for job security. What's a V-bug?
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me he wasn't involved. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we got the Viva, one of our members who put out a letter said that what they did was they created jobs for their kids and grandkids.
That's a fact, Jack.
And
but think about this. The membership went down, as Scott said. And like Adrian said, with technology, that was going to happen. Well, the old man, and now I'm not talking about my uncle, the old man. I'm talking about Walter. Knew about that shit. That's why he had annual income fund and COLA, would have ate that shit up and rewarded the worker. As we lost, we would have made more. I'm just sorry I'm pointing out facts because you kids don't know what we had. You won't stand up.
Right.
Well, that's why they bargained PPH days so it'd get more people in the workforce. His idea was he wanted to basically get it so with our paid time off, we average 4 days a week. Tag relief created jobs. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And it got you off the line. Whether you went and did something with it or not, at least it got you an additional break off the line to give your body a break.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no longer any consideration for what's good for the worker on the plant floor. When you're 60 years old and you have a prostate the size of a watermelon, you don't want to raise your hand and wait 3 hours to pee.
Right, right. What's the,
if you're a 60-year-old woman that's had four kids and you got bladder issues, you don't want to wait 3 hours to go to the bathroom.
And not only that, in this instance, women are a little bit different than men, because if you women hold it like this for a long period of time, if I remember how this goes right, you run a higher risk of giving yourself a urinary tract infection.
Right. Right.
That's correct, but women can hold it longer than men.
Well,
absolutely.
It really doesn't matter. You shouldn't have to hold it at all.
I get it.
As long as you're not abusing the system.
Right.
Right. And I understand what you're saying. I'm just talking about medically and scientifically.
Sure.
That's it.
Sure.
What I'm talking about is that nothing is ever bargained from the worker's standpoint. Everything's all about what management wants. They want more for less. They want more bang for their buck. As far as I'm concerned, a modern-day assembly plant is run pretty much like a concentration camp from the standpoint they want to see how few minutes of break they can give you, how few paid days off they can give you, how fast they can crank up the line, and you keep working till you're no longer of any use to them. And then after you put 40 years on the line, which a worker will have to do now because they got rid of all the offline jobs and anything like that, you're going to have to put 40 years on the line. Your body's going to be mush, and then they're going to crash you out on retirement without a pension or health care. You pay for the damage they've done to your body over 40 years. It's crap.
You're here. Here, here, you know. And when's the last time we heard anybody talk about this? I believe it's RMI, repetitive motion injury.
Yeah.
It comes under all sorts of different names. They put it under ergonomics and this and that. But
sure.
It still doesn't change. The people are on wherever they're at, whether it's a stamping facility, an engine, or a transmission or assembly or body shop, it doesn't matter where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's doing the same thing in the same motion.
Right.
So they says, oh, well, we'll come up with this team concept, and part of this team concept, we'll rotate people. That way they're not on that job very long and they won't get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it sounds good on paper. But when you put it in actual layman's terms and put it down, you go out and watch somebody in a particular area, and you watch them rotate, okay, they're not bending their right arm at this angle for more than an hour. So I go
mm-hmm.
to the next job, it's the other arm that they're bending at that angle for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So now I bent this one and this one for an hour on each. Now I go to another job. Oh, gee, now he's working with his hands above his head, which is an ergonomic no-no to begin with, and he does that for an hour. Then he has to go to another position. Oh, gee, the lady before him was 5'4", and she needed a block. The gentleman that follows her is 6'4". He's a foot taller. Now we have to try to figure out how to accommodate the difference between a short person and a tall person so they can work safely. Well, we don't do that. So that person sits there and they bend over in an awkward position. They work in an awkward position. So by the time, I guess my point is, by the time I go around this whole rotation at the end of the day, okay,
whole body's
I've not been on... Exactly. My whole body's hurting. But I haven't been
But I haven't done that one job all day long.
Okay. Right.
But the reality of it is yes, you're right ergonomically. He hasn't done that job all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But what's going to happen, though, is cumulatively, after he does that for a year, not only is he not going to just, where he might have had just maybe had to have a carpal tunnel surgery to fix his right wrist, now he's going to have carpal tunnel surgery to fix his right wrist, his left wrist. He's going to end up having to have his neck operated on, and maybe his back.
Knees on his whole body.
Yeah, knees, shoulders.
Exactly.
Well, ergonomics was sold to us on the basis that it would help the worker. It doesn't. It helps management. It doesn't help the worker
right.
at all, because you do you work for 4 hours on a job that wrecks your back, then you work on a job for 4 hours that wrecks your hands, and the object is just to keep you moving and working and producing something, and they don't
right.
They don't care what shape your body's in once you're out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is people aren't going to last 40 years at the pace they're being pushed.
They don't care no more about that, Paul, because they've got in cahoots with the government, and they'll just put your ass out on disability. I mean, you got no choice on that, like they did me. I'm trying to go back. My doctor tries to send me back 3 different times with restrictions. They said, oh, you hit the 2-year limit, you're out. I never heard of such shit.
Yeah. Well, the union's not forcing them to live up to their obligations.
Yeah, but I get special treatment.
I mean, that's the way it goes if you're a rabble-rouser, Jim. You learn early on if you open your mouth, they're...
Hey, I know where you live.
What's that?
I know where you
what
live.
What are you
kidding?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the old Detroit saying, I know where you live.
And I'm kidding.
The thing with this whole thing, we talk about this, is in the center point of this is we know managers going to do what managers are going to do. They're going to run their business, They care about us? No. Do they care about the person that's in progression who doesn't have a pension, who more than likely is going to work at least 40 years because they don't have a pension?
Yeah.
And you're right. He's going to be broken and busted up when he gets done. But that's okay because if he goes out before then, I get another one at half price just to fill his shoes, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, I
still make money.
The problem isn't that the union had any evil intent. They just listen to management, and they don't monitor what's really going on the plant floor.
Are you sure about that?
When you sit in an air-conditioned office
here.
With management, they can sell a program to you that you think is going to work, but it's not really working.
I agree with Adrian. Are
you
sure
about
that?
Yeah, because you worked on the floor before. You worked on the floor before some of the new technologies.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so how quickly we forget.
Yeah.
No, this ain't about just you and management.
And these people who came, who represent our union in the capacity of their ergonomics division, whether it be a Ford, Chrysler, General Motors, they all came from a factory floor somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So they all know.
And I would venture to say that most of our upper echelon, all of them come from the factory floor with the exception of Cindy Estrada.
Yeah. But how long did they work on the plant floor? And
it doesn't matter how long they worked. They worked out there.
But what I'm saying, they don't understand what it's like to work on the line for 40 years. When they hired in, you spent a year or two on the line, you could get an offline job. You can't do that anymore. You're going to do a hard time in an assembly plant anymore. You can't be a janitor. You can't be a booth cleaner. You can't do sub-assembly. They've allowed all that to go away.
You want to
what I'm trying to say is maybe they're not working 40 years, but they have worked out there.
Sure.
So they have some kind of idea about what goes on out there.
They have.
And
some. Yeah.
So you are so high and mighty that you don't care about the people that you are supposed to protect?
Yeah.
That's
you
want what I'm
to stop
talking
and
about.
Get the best way I see to get representation, think about this, Adrian, Don, and Scott. And, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Every bonus I get, every quality inspection promo I get, all those little perks. Stop that UAW, cut of that. Take that Vegas
purse
so they don't get none of my money. Make them start representing me for the motherfucking money they take. And I'm sorry I swore, but make them start doing their goddamn job.
I'm with you on that.
Yep.
They should not be getting a cut. They already got their damn cut. They got it when they negotiated them badass contracts.
Yep.
And then they came out and they sold it to people. They lied to them to get them to vote, get a positive vote.
Yeah.
And then what did they do? They got paid because for every local or unit, however it goes, they get paid for each one that they negotiate for.
Yep.
They're making money hands over fist. And that is why that you had the same people negotiating every time.
Well, it's hard to get up and get away from the gravy once you suck the syrup. You know?
I know that's right.
I mean, I'm just as guilty as the other one, you know. Give me some of them damn biscuits. I'm sopping this shit up. I ain't leaving nothing.
I know that's right.
Who do you think? I'm from Mississippi. Buster Byron starved.
Yep. They look at self-preservation too. And it's all about them. It's not about who they're representing.
Self-intentions, that's overkill.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to deny there's corruption there because the feds have already proved it.
Yep.
Well, it's more corrupt than what they really dug into. They let a whole lot go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, especially
it's
the
not just at the top.
Accounts. Think about that.
Yeah, the whole damn thing is corrupt.
Well, the
think
thing
about
is,
the overseas accounts, Adrian. Think about them overseas accounts. They finally admitted they existed. Now their ambassadors evaporated, and their top dog resigned and retired. Sounds
that's
like
correct.
More union bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they're only concerned about the financial corruption, and really the worst corruption in the union is the moral corruption.
Yeah.
Because
but
when you take union
dollars.
News, you should represent people the best you can. And
that's
it's hard
it, that's
for me
it.
To believe that with the sorry working conditions we now have and the loss of jobs, that they're doing their best.
Well, they might be doing their best. Nobody said, you know, that they were the smartest ass people in the world.
Yeah.
No matter of fact, to me, they're some of the, well, they're con people, some of them. I'll just put it that way.
Amen, sister.
I'm trying to be nice.
What
I'm
is the Peter's principle that says you rise to your level of incompetence? Something like
oh,
that.
Oh, the Peter principle.
Yeah.
You rise to your highest level of incompetence, and then you promote them.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's clearly at least some people in the International Union that are not competent, because how could they bargain these kind of agreements if they had any level of competence?
Or any moral aptitude.
Right.
No, we go back to self-preservation.
I mean, maybe what we need to do is just hire some good attorneys to bargain for us.
Oh, not that might be, but you, how are you going to hire any good attorneys when not only the companies, but the UAW has got all the attorneys on retainer?
Right.
It's hard as hell for you to find an attorney.
Yeah, then they go out and hire another one. I'll be
exactly. And then the other part of this, this bogus-ass legal service that we have.
Here,
you're
going to
say that you can't go, you got a problem with the company, oh, but you can't use the legal service. But yet and still, they tack the cost of that legal service onto your gross income at the end of the year. What the hell you mean I can't? And I'm paying for this.
And the goddamn will that they drew up is null and void in Michigan court. And then I still have to pay at the end of the year. Come on, man.
Yep. Now, just for what it's worth, I did talk to somebody. It's not worth the fight, I guess.
Okay.
It's less than a dollar. But the retirees have to pay that, and they claim that. They have to claim it on their income tax. And I tell people, I said, oh, wait a minute. I guess it's like 46 cents or 42 cents. But times that, times 700,000 people who are retired, that's a chunk of cheese.
Well, retirees aren't going to complain because we get coffee and donuts.
No, we don't. We ain't get a damn thing.
If you,
right
if you go to the if you go, if you go to the
meetings,
retiree meetings, you get coffee and donuts.
Ain't no meetings.
I know. We could complain now.
No coffee and no donuts.
Wait a minute. There's 700,000 of you retirees, and all the 150,000 of us still working.
Uh-oh. What was that?
No, he's basically asking if it's us active workers and you retirees paying us all together if we're all paying for that legal service. That's what he asked, I think.
Yes.
And you know what? Them attorneys, most of them, you better only be doing a will because half of them are worthless shit. It's like they got that one and they're almost disbarred.
I'm sorry, no, what I was asking was there's only 150,000 active UAW members and 700,000 retirees. Is that what the number is?
It's close.
I don't know how many
retirees. About 3 years ago, it was almost 700,000. I'm going to take a solid guess, and I'm going to say it's probably still over 600,000 retired UAW people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, you guys got to step up. I'm sorry. I can't be paying for your health benefits if you guys do nothing for me.
No.
Hey, we got to step up, huh? I know that's right.
And Adrian, you have to lead the cause.
I know that's
right.
Adrian can't hardly walk right now, and it's like I sit
I
and I read. I'm
Adrian
still
to be careful with you.
Okay, Adrian, on Wednesday I'll meet you at the restaurant on Belleville Lake and we'll talk about it.
I know what you're talking about. Right there next to the park.
It used to be called Reflections. I don't know what it is now. It's been years since they worked out that way.
I don't even, I guess they're open, but at what time will we have this lunch?
It depends on what time your husband's busy and what time my wife's busy, so we're open now.
All right.
Hey, I'm open on Wednesday, too.
See?
Uh-oh.
See? Yeah, that's right. You work Sea Crew, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean,
Sea Crew is the only crew.
Thanks. Well,
who's buying? That's the important question.
I'm interested too.
Well, since my counterpart from Bobby keeps interjecting herself, she can say.
You know what? Don't make me come over to paint and hunt you down there, buddy. I'll be driving the pilot over hunting you down.
Come on over, baby. You just walk across that tunnel. You don't even have to go outside to find me.
Oh, I like that. Convenient. I love it. I know that paint shop like the back of my hand. I did some time over there, my friend.
Yeah, like I said before, you guys keep talking about the union has, or the membership has the power, but they don't know what to do with it. From the day that I started orientation, Nick Collada's statement, gave everybody his personal phone number, all right? And just basically said, trust me. And within 2 years from that back, he was walking around the shop telling everybody, this is the best contract we're going to get. You guys got to sign off on it or you're all going to lose your job. So that's what kind of leadership I have.
The current chairman said that?
That requires an answer. Yes. Well, no, I got to do my job, you know. I can't do it instant.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, Don has an itchy finger and he'll cut me off. But, yes, the current chairman.
Wow. Holy rat.
They've been running that scam for a couple of decades.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I came
Both
from
Florida,
a plant.
Their management won't invest in the plant.
I came from a plant that they kept spewing that out.
Right.
I mean, that's been 3 plants ago.
Yeah, is that one of the initial plants they closed?
But that's my point, is that the new membership doesn't know that these are old tricks. Because,
right,
like I said, a
right.
lot of these kids are younger, and, I, yep. and I'm not one of the younger ones, but this is my first union job. So I don't know how the game is played. So that's what I mean. We need somebody, you know, like Adrian, to head up the program.
Now, I was at 2 parts plants before this assembly plant, but I can say if you're in an assembly plant, you're pretty secure. I mean, depending on your seniority, if you're way at the bottom, but, I mean, that whole song and dance, I've been hearing that ever since I hired in, for crying out loud, and I've made it going on 22 years.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, they started running that game in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But what they
exactly.
found out is if people had been bounced for 4 or 5 different plants, they no longer believed that. So then they started yeah. doing the signing bonus.
Yep. Yep, that's exactly what they did. But you know what? When you spread fear, I mean, fear can be, for some people, a motivator. Yeah. But you know what? I'm so sick of that song and dance. They feel we're going to close this. Well, you know what? Yeah,
close.
I'll be going somewhere else. Right. I'll go somewhere else. Go ahead and close it. I'll be going somewhere else. They need workers every day. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
People retire.
Mm-hmm.
They need workers every day. So they need
mm-hmm.
to stop getting out, especially the union. We're going to close this. Just shut your mouth. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Pisses me off.
Well, they won't fight for anything. My response as a union leader would be, okay, if this is the way you're going to play the game, we're going to go on strike and we're going to shut you down for a couple months to see if you change your tune. I mean, the biggest danger we have right now is that the big three want to get out of every niche but trucks, and they want to outsource everything. And so there's that's where we're losing all our jobs. We've lost far more to outsourcing and them just getting out of different niches than we have from automation.
Right.
I mean, General Motors used to make locomotives, heavy-duty trucks, medium-duty trucks, transit buses, missile guidance systems, every size and shape of a vehicle. And all they wanted to do is build Cadillacs and trucks and SUVs.
Don't forget washers, dryers, refrigerators.
Oh, yeah. General Motors was the largest and richest corporation in the world. Now their market capitalization is nowhere near what that Yahoo has that builds the electric cars.
Right.
And it's pathetic.
That'd be Tesla?
Yeah. They've gotten rid of so much of their plants and real estate, their net value is ridiculously low compared to what it used to be.
Right. Yep. 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 It's we've come a long way. We have, and without the representation, negotiating a meaningful contract for the workers on the floor, to favor the workers on the floor, like our Constitution says. Okay, look at Article 2. It's pretty specific. You know, shorter working hours. You know, I mean, I just can't keep fathom why people don't understand. I don't know if Jimmy ever remember talking to Danjin about this or not, but Danjin and I took about 3 days to do this. Went through my pay stubs, and we kind of figured out going from the basis of if we had kept the 1979 agreement with the 4% annual wage agreement. Do you know what everybody would be making to this day? And this was 4 or 5 years ago now. We had figured out at $55 an hour.
I was going to say.
$55 an hour. Top scale to Big Three right now, I think, is 31 and some change.
Yeah. About the same as what I made when I retired 12 years ago.
Yeah.
With my second shift premium.
Yeah.
And what's inflation rate been in the last 12 years?
It's gotten worse. No matter, no politician wants to talk about this. Okay, inflation. No politician wants to talk about stagnation. And no politician wants to talk because they don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. No politician wants to talk about the cost of living right now, period.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're looking at tires are going to go skyrocket this year. Lumber is up 300%.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that are going on right now. And in the meantime, our purchasing power for the U.S. dollar has went down.
Correct.
Our buying power has went down. Food is more expensive. Everything's more expensive. Clothes are more expensive. And now it seems to be the corporations want to try to favor it so that you pay more out-of-pocket expense for your medical and for your dental and for your optical and for whatever else. In the meantime, we need to stop and think about this the way that our union leadership should be thinking about this is, gee, even through the middle of a pandemic, we had record profits.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy, I'm going to put you back on right now. There you go, Jim.
Everybody's hurting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's feeling a pinch somewhere. And then you can have the people that come in that are in progression who are making anywhere from $18 to $28 an hour right now at the top scale. and then you have all the new people that are coming in at $15 and some change, whatever
mm-hmm.
flavor of temporary language they're in, and we're having record profits, and you're complaining about paying the workers because why? And like Jimmy said at the beginning of the show, the old man, Walter Reuther, thought that out, and he said back in the late 50s, he said that, looking forward to automation,
mm-hmm.
he said the workers should be compensated because eventually they're going to be losing their jobs.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And here we sit having this conversation. So I just want to come back and touch on this again. For the people who are listening, who don't seem to understand where we're coming from, do you all understand that you should be making basically $50 to $60 an hour right now for what you're doing, not $15 or $20 or
$28? Mm-hmm.
You need to listen to what we're talking about. All the things that our International Executive Board, who, by the way, most of these people who have negotiated the last three or four contracts are going to prison. They knew about
mm-hmm.
this. They didn't want to share that with you. They didn't fight for that for you because they were taking care of themselves and or family members.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and they take care of their core supporters, too. I mean, you can win a local election when you only take care of about 10% of people, because those people are highly vocal. They'll go out and tell other people that, you know, people like us are full of crap. We don't know anything. One thing we really need to do is get all references to continuous improvement out of our national agreement. It's not the union's job to give management more bang for the buck. I mean,
right.
I as a worker on the plant floor, I just had an obligation to be there when I was supposed to be there and to do my job.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel it was my job to tell them how to make more money, to show
mm-hmm.
them how to load more work onto me or my coworkers. And
right.
The thing is, we're going to go continuously backward until we get references to continuous improvement out of our contract. Walter Reuther never would have fallen for that scam.
No. Paragraph 8 has been in our contracts
from the very beginning.
Time. Yeah, and paragraph 8 is like whether you're at Ford, Chrysler, or General Motors, you have plant rules, okay? You
mm-hmm.
have rules. Those rules were written by very intelligent lawyers, the same people who do these operating, it's what it is, the operating clause.
Operating agreements.
That they put in these national agreements, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And these things are written in such a way, they're like the Ten Commandments or the U.S. Constitution. They're past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with what Paul's saying, and Walter Reuther absolutely agreed on that. He said, look, you know, we have 700 pieces of language in this contract. One of them, one, belongs to you, your operating agreement.
Mm-hmm.
What does that operating agreement say? Basically, it says this in a nutshell. All means, methods, and processes are solely exclusively the right of the corporation. Doesn't say Scott, Paul, Adrian, Jim, Don, Carrie, Fort Wayne. Doesn't say that at all. Doesn't say a local number. It doesn't say the UAW in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's very clear. It's for the corporation to figure out where they're going to build it, how they're going to build it, when they're going to build it, why they're going to build it. Now, with that being said, if I'm a good union rep, I'm going to try to fight to make sure I get as many of those jobs for whenever you do, when, how, or whatever. It's going to be UAW represented people doing those jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe they're the best qualified to do those jobs.
Mm-hmm.
you know. That's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And people need to realize what we're talking about here. We have lost so many things since the 1979 agreement. Every contract has been concessionary, including the last two, because they were put in there with a lot of things that we lost. But the main thing was, oh, look, we'll get in progression workers. We'll change the language from Tier 2 to in progression. We're not going to tell you that you're going to vote a permanent lower-tiered worker into the national contract. Oh, gee, it worked so good this last one. Let's try it again. We'll bring all the temporaries in and make them full-time temporaries. And we'll give them their own language in the agreement. And you bought it. Wow.
Well, one of the problems, you made reference to the Ten Commandments. They're pretty clear. Our agreements with General Motors are not very clear.
No, but
way
your shop
too many words
are.
In them, and way too many exceptions, too many clauses. We need to simplify our contract.
That 1979 agreement was written in such a way that all you needed, and I'm not trying to be offensive to anybody or nothing like that. Don't take this the wrong way, but all you needed was an eighth grade education to read that contract and understand what it said, period.
And that's all you needed to, if you felt you'd been screwed over by your union, that you could write an appeal and have a chance to win.
Yeah.
You know, you just had an eighth grade education. You had a legitimate beef. You could win your argument with the union, but now you pretty much need an attorney to win.
Right.
It's crap.
I give
an attorney that you can't get.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I was going to say they kind of handle things the way Bill Clinton did when he said it depends on what your definition of is.
Correct.
That's the kind of crap they're dealing with when you deal with GM now.
I give an ex-local president, someone that Don and I both know, I told him to be very wary of how a situation was playing out at this local. And this individual needed something to put other individuals in line. I talked to somebody else they knew. They had some archived information, found what I was looking for, and it was a decision, an umpire's decision, that David Yetaw had won. Dealing with Doc 46 individuals, and what they did was they were out politicking. And you're not supposed to do that. When you have an appointed position, I'm pretty sure all of our contracts are pretty clear that you are to be a neutral.
Right.
And apolitical. Furthermore, the only thing that you are entitled to run for when you have this pristine job given to you, which is usually for life, on an appointed position, the only thing that you're entitled to do is to run for the Constitutional Convention as an independent. You're not eligible to pick up with any colors, slates, caucuses, nothing. You can run the Constitutional Convention on your own merit as yourself. Other than that, you know, and in this decision, I found out more information that as a special appointed position, that they are entitled to work 7 days a week in most locations, depending on what your appointment is. You're entitled to work 7 days a week because by you accepting the appointment, you may have to give up daily overtime or may cost somewhere else. So what they do is they make sure you have the opportunity to work 7 days a week. And sometimes people do get to work 7/12s or whatever, you know, but that's afforded you for taking this appointment. That's something else I learned through this whole process. But David Yotta took this case, went all the way to the top, and won it. And guess what happened to the two individuals at his local who were appointed people? They lost their appointment. They lost a lifetime job because they were out politicizing something that they shouldn't have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And David won that.
That's the reason he was a target in 1996 Buick elections, because he was a very knowledgeable man and he was he knew how to win.
He won that.
Right.
He did win that, Scott, but if you know in the end, 3 years later, both of them son of a bitches wound up on international staff again. Did I lose you?
Hello?
Yeah. We have about 8 minutes left tonight's show, so. What's that? Factory Flow wanted to say something, sound like. No? Anybody else there?
Hello?
Oh. Hello?
I'm here.
Oh.
But I might as well sign off and say goodbye to you, rabble rousers. It's been a real pleasure.
Take care.
We'll see you next week.
Yep.
We will be here. I got to thank Don for covering me. My phone's been dropping like a yo-yo all night about 7 times. I'm sorry, folks.
Oh.
That's all right, buddy.
But, yeah, it's crazy, Scott, and I don't know what we're going to do to straighten our union out, but I know we're looking at the end of the light, people. It's time to do something now. We can't do it for you. We need to do it together. Not as one, as together, as all of us. I don't give a shit if you're a temporary or you're a legacy. And, damn it, I'm a retiree. If you guys will get your shit together, I'll come down. We need to come together as one and fight these guys. And know who your enemy is. It's both of them right now.
Right.
Yes.
That's a fact.
Hmm. Wow.
Sad. Real sad.
It is.
And they still haven't put out any information on one member, one vote. Have they? Scott?
No.
I don't think he's going to. He's not going to. He didn't have to do nothing when he took over paragraph 8 and 30, was it 30 or 31?
Right.
He didn't do shit. He just let him die, and the government let it go. That's what I'm saying. Take RICO off the books, sir. You don't want to enforce our federal laws. Quit paying these people for jobs they're not doing. Please listen to our cry.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, before we go, I just want to say I wonder who they have in mind to be the next UAW president.
I think Brian Keller. I think they're planning on trying to slide Cindy in. That's
oh, well, that means that's the end of the UAW.
Yeah.
because she shouldn't even be vice. You remember I said that last week?
Yep.
That's right.
And I mean that. Uh-uh. Well,
I gotta agree with Scott. I've said it all along. I think they're gonna push the first up bra queen.
I don't mean to interrupt that. I hate Synergy Coalition, but two questions. Did we ever find a resolution for that guy's daughter in Flint? Did we ever get the full story? And did we ever get a call back from Boston guy?
Never heard back from Dwayne.
Yeah, to tell you the truth, we're never going to get that full story because something was lacking in that story.
No.
But here we go.
There's something missing.
There's a lot missing, but she is back to work, right? He said she got her job back.
Yep, as I know. But the way she failed to get involved in it, there was a lot there that we don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when they gave her that 180 days. She can't do nothing for 180 days. She can't be AWOL or anything. Something lacking there, so.
Yeah, I agree absolutely.
Because I don't see how anybody bargained for that if you had no AWOLs, you had a clean record. But
right.
Sounds like they used that as an excuse to show her the door. Either Dwayne doesn't have the whole story, or he just doesn't want to tell us the whole story.
And I hate to think there's another alternative, and I hate to think of it, but I hope and pray that nobody was trying to set our asses up with a story.
Right.
And thought that we were going to say something wrong, because we're not into trying to tell people the wrong things to do.
No.
So
I don't think anything. Any of our discussions were
all above board.
Absolutely, they were, and not only were they above board, it was in the whole spirit of helping an individual with what I think was a wrong situation.
Yeah,
that had gone awry.
Mm-hmm.
That had went awry, and somebody chose not to address the situation in a correct manner.
Right.
So we do business as usual, do it this way and this way, and okay, we'll bring them back to last chance basis. See, we helped you get your job back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you should have never been out the door to begin with.
I don't know about that.
As far as we know.
It was some things that I don't think we were privy to, but.
Right.
Yeah.
I
kind of
formulated my own opinions about things because I did some checking on some stuff.
Right.
So it was like, interesting.
And I wonder why she never pulled in.
Yep.
Hey, Don. You. I instant message you Dick Colatus' phone number if you know how to use your message. And his mom had a heart attack this week, so I heard that she might want to talk about it.
Wow.
Somebody had a heart attack.
Yeah. Somebody's mom had a heart attack.
Yeah.
Whose mom?
I don't know. Am I hearing something?
Yes, his mom.
So he messengered you, Don, about Nick's mother.
Oh, okay. I have to get on Facebook. I don't know how to operate Facebook with a damn.
Well,
so.
We got about 20 seconds left.
Tell you what, I'll send it to Scott. Scott can give you the number.
There you go. There you go.
Mm-hmm. You can operate a switchboard, but you can't figure out how to use Facebook. You're killing me, Don. You're killing me.
He's like the girl from Laughing. One ringing, ringing, new ringing, ringing, ringing. I love Don.
Somebody called me on Facebook. I don't know what the hell to do. My monitor started ringing, and I go, what the hell is that? I don't know. I don't hardly go to Facebook. And when I do, I leave it on, because I leave my computer on all the time. I don't ever turn it off. So it might say I'm on Facebook, but I'm really not.
That was me calling you, by the way. All you have to do is hit accept.
Yeah, you don't know me. My son always complains. I had to call New York to find out how to set this show up with my mixer.
Uh-oh.
Well, there you go. I'm not very good at this stuff.
Did you use a rotary phone, or did you have Mabel connect you?
Ooh.
I can't hear you. Somebody help me.
Now, wait a minute, folks. That only happened after he retired. I know he was involved in a good show.
No, I said, did you use your rotary phone, or did you have cable connected?
Oh, do you have cable connected?
Yeah, I've got everything connected to you, sucker. You don't ask me how and why. I got 7 or 6 of those power strips, and every one of them is plugged. Got something plugged into it, so this room might blow up one of these days.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I got a lot of equipment to put this show on, I tell you that. Lots of equipment.
Wow.
Well, Scotty.
We can put another show to bed.
Well, I wanted to tell the young man and Carrie to get in touch with me through Messenger. About Wednesday.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Carrie, you and Adrian don't say what restaurant, damn it, because you both got emails. You might come in there wanting a spanking.
Oh.
And come up to Adrian wants a spanking. That's the I forgot the guy's name now.
Was it Frank? Was it Frank?
I don't know. Frank? Well, he wants to marry you, and he wants to spank him from Adrian. That's all I know.
Woo-wee!
Adrian's legs hurt because the old man put a leg behind her shoulders again.
It's time to go now. Time to go.
So getting too old for all these theatrics.
Getting too old for all this gymnastics. Well, all right. Well, I guess until next week, we're unplugging her for tonight, I guess.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, everybody stay
you
safe.
You all have a great night.
Amen.
Be safe this week, guys.
Thank you. You too.
Yes.
You
yes.
Too, Terry,
thank you.
Jimmy, 313. Adrian, Scott. Y'all have a safe week.
Everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.